You can find me in the club tonight. Club Likens, watching two NBA games. Knicks, Celtics.
Knicks, Celtics tonight? That's a big one.
That's the early one, so you'll be able to watch it.
Go Celtics.
Go Knicks. I wouldn't root for Boston if it was the last place on earth, except if they were playing St. Louis.
Did you say Bo Knicks?
I wouldn't know. I did not. I said Boston. I said go Knicks.
Oh, I think you said Bo Knicks.
Oh, Bo Knicks, 4-3 in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, well, I ain't knowing.
Best quarterback drafted in the class this year. I'm kidding. Caleb Williams comes back to action this week. We'll get more into around the football league later on the week, but it is it's Raider week officially today. Monday, you react to the victory, and now we get into Raider week, the silver and black, the autumn wind that makes you puke.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash.
Sack?
With a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache.
That's how long ago the Raiders have been relevant, that they have the guy from, the Tower of Terror? The Twilight Zone? That's how good they were back then. They could actually have stuff like that. But the Chiefs are 6-0, and here we are, finding ourselves trying to figure out. And I'm in the minority here, but I have conversations with friends that are just diehards. They're like, talk to me and make it make sense that they're 6-0. And I was like, well, they're underappreciated, and you agree with that?
Well, I think you're undervaluing this team if you look at them any way other than being 6-0, because I think people, low-hanging fruit, we just look at the offense and we want to judge everything in the NFL based on just how your offense is performing. And that's just a bad way to look at things right now, because I don't know what offense is really doing great things right now, right? Around the league. Obviously, the Ravens last night had themselves a game. But very few and far between when it comes to these spectacular offenses. But people, for whatever reason, look at the offense and go, oh, okay, you know, they're no good, so I don't understand how they're 6-0. They're 6-0 because they are legitimately the best team that's out there in the NFL right now. They are the best team from top to bottom, from head coach to defensive coordinator to quarterback to ancillary players to everybody in between. Nobody can match what the Chiefs offer on game day, and it's a 53-man roster for a reason. It's not a 22-man roster, or it's not a Patrick Mahomes and two wide receiver rosters like we want to make it out to be. Do they need help there? No question. They do. Are they trying to find it? Yes, they are. They're doing their best to try to find some wide receivers. But I think when people say make it make sense to me that they're 6-0, I think you're slapping the face of everybody else inside that organization, that you're saying, I can't believe they're 6-0 and Patrick Mahomes at a 40 quarterback rating. I mean, it doesn't matter. They find ways to win because they are a team, and they continue to undervalue the defense when people say make it make sense to me at 6-0. It makes sense because that defense isn't letting anybody score on you.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is that it starts from the top, right? Your general manager and your head coach, and they're just always so prepared, and they're a step ahead of you. And last night, I know Baker Mayfield had two big mistakes. They were up 10-7 at one point. They're up 10-0 at one point, and Baltimore went on a 34-0 run. The Chiefs don't allow that.
Right.
Right. The Chiefs don't allow 30 points. They haven't allowed 30 points or more since the Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles.
26 games now, I think we're talking about.
I think Mahomes only been blown out three times in his career, maybe four. Tennessee, Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl, and then there's like another. Buffalo beat him pretty bad one year. Other than that, like, that's what we're doing. We have to like literally dive into that. The Chiefs don't get blown out. They have, if not the best defense, the second best defense in the league. Pittsburgh's got a nasty defense.
Pittsburgh is nasty.
Right.
Yep.
And the thing is,
I mean, they made that guy eat his boogers on the sidelines.
That's tough. And I think the thing that's wild about this is, I think until he's done, everyone will consider Travis Kelce the number one tight end in football. Chris Jones is the number one interior lineman in football. Patrick Mahomes, whether his numbers say it or not, he's still the best quarterback in football.
Because you ask yourself this question, who are you starting a team with today? Every player is available. Who are you taking to start your team? And everybody's taking Patrick Mahomes.
And Pete Prisco had this to say about Watson versus Mahomes money, which we can get into later, but it's, you look at like the underappreciated value that might be the Chiefs at 6-0, and this is might quite possibly be a homer take, but they're just better than you, and people know it.
And it goes back to an MJF quote from AEW. I know that's a long way back and nerd stats here for the wrestlers, but he always had a stat or a quote that he would cut in a promo. He's like, I'm better than you, and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way the Chiefs are. And I don't think the Chiefs are necessarily arrogant in that regard.
No, they're not arrogant. I'm the arrogant
one. And that's fine. You know? And I think that's the best part about it is that I think a lot of things go into it. I think you're starting to see this with Detroit, who is now going to be without one of their wide receivers because of a league substance policy in James Williams.
I know. This guy, I mean, tough, he, dude. Hurt, gambling, this.
Like. Yeah, it's tough. But, like, Detroit kind of has, I hate using the word swagger, but they do have that. They went in, you know, played Minnesota, undefeated, division, beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs, Raiders, last year, Christmas, it's been on their schedule for almost a year now. They do the whole Kermit the Frog thing. The Chiefs never really bark. But they'll bite.
But because they take on the personality of their leader, and Andy Reid. I mean, you talk about the swagger Detroit has. Look at Dan Campbell. That guy's got some swag behind him, right?
Yeah.
Not that Andy Reid doesn't have the swag power, but Andy Reid acts like an adult in the room when this league is filled with children coaching teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's the dad that comes in and goes, all right, let me show you how it's done here.
And that's
okay?
The thing is, like, you watched the game last week, and Mahomes doesn't necessarily do it with his arm. He does it with his legs because he does it in times of the game where you need it. Like the play to Travis Kelce that I think goes underappreciated is the play that he got the first down on where he did the classic move where he caught it fake to the right.
Oh,
and then
it was
went,
beautiful. Look. Just a beautiful play.
And those are those things that's like the, you know, you get the guy gets a leadoff triple and then all of a sudden strikeout pop out, two outs, you're getting out of the inning and then a doinker of a hit over the first base, run scores. That kills a team's momentum.
Sure.
And Patrick Mahomes does that, whether it's with a 50-yard bomb or a 25-yard run with his legs. He seems to do those things in the vital moments of the game. And the thing about the Chiefs is they don't necessarily have to beat you with their talent, but they beat you with their reputation because everybody knows that you cannot give Mahomes the ball with any time left, which makes you think about two times ahead of your possession. Like, you parlay that with what is this defense that Kansas City has, which is like a swarm of dogs. Like, you looked at Brock Purdy last week, three interceptions. Yeah, he had two rushing touchdowns, but Brock Purdy was not good because he was pressured by the Chiefs. And this is a team where every week, and it seems so far this year, now granted, week two, most points they've allowed, 25, which is just baffling. But you look at what the Chiefs do, and it's like they are a team of so much balance that if the defense stops, the offense knows they only have to go so far, and then they give it over to their number one kicker in the league, Harrison Butker. They're almost guaranteed 3 points every drive, if you think about it in that regards. And yeah, there's some dummy, you know, interceptions, but Patrick Mahomes has made the interception stat irrelevant. And you can say, yeah, it's not irrelevant, but it's like he's thrown 8 interceptions, and you know, here's Marcus Spears on ESPN show last night going, "Who cares? Who cares? They're 6-0."
Right.
It's like your number three hitter's hitting .230, but he's got 50 home runs. The average is irrelevant because he's putting up numbers in other statistical categories that are impressive and do matter. And Patrick Mahomes has the longest run of his career in a game where he had 0 passing touchdowns and a QB rating of 44.
Yeah.
Like, it's things like that where you're like, make it make sense, and I'm doing that. Like, they come up big in a moment where they need to, whereas how many times in the past would you see like a Trent Green-led offense where Trent Green might have been 31 of 48 for 325 yards and 3 touchdowns, but threw an interception with 2 minutes left in the game and the Chiefs lose.
And they lose because the defense couldn't stop anybody.
Right.
And that Travis Kelce play that you're talking about came right before the Patrick Mahomes run, too. That was with 2:21 to go in the third quarter. Kelce on a 3rd-and-6 had that patented fake left turnaround and run upfield to get the first down. And then like 2 plays later, Patrick Mahomes is going 33 yards for the career long run that he had there that basically changed the entire game and put the Chiefs on top. But I mean, that's what this team is. I mean, I know people beat themselves up because they play fantasy football or whatever, and they look at these stat numbers. You got to stop looking at the stats when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs because they're winning games in different ways because they know how to win games in different ways. Okay, you need us to slow the offense down? Fine. We can do that on defense, and we'll hold, I don't know, the Los Angeles Clippers to 10 points or the New Orleans Saints to 13 points or the Atlanta Falcons to 17 points. We can win games
or
that
18.
Way. Or what? Or 18. 18. get, or 18 points against the 49ers, right? Or if we need to score, you know, in the high 20s like they did last weekend or in the opening week, we can figure out a way to do that as well. They just know how to win. They know what they have to do to win games, and that comes from experience. That comes from being in these situations, and again, it comes from having that strong leadership at the top. I know it sounds like it's repetitive over and over again, but I think this is the year where you're starting to understand and see the true value of Andy Reid. At least last year, I hope everybody understood and saw the true value of Andy Reid. This year now, I think everybody's starting to understand and see the true value of Andy Reid. I was watching SportsCenter yesterday before the Manning cast came on.
First time in what, 20 years?
Probably. Yeah. I got lost in the time of the day because it got dark and I thought it was later than it was. And so I turned it on thinking it was game time, and it was like 6:45 and they had their gambling on guy, some guy, Fat Sal or something the guy's name is, right? And he's from Jersey. He's like, hey, call 800-444. I got picks now, right? And so you call this guy and he gives you his picks of the week. But they had this guy on ESPN.
J.G. Whitworth?
And he said one of the best, called J.G. Wentworth, 877 cash now. 877 cash now.
Yep.
Cash now. But I think the bet of the week was this guy's like, you got to start putting money on Andy Reid to win coach of the year. I'm like, oh, so somebody's been listening to the show, because I've been telling you that now for a very long time. And I went back and looked at my bets. I got him at 50-1 for coach of the year on September
255.
$5 bet to win 255. Right.
Best money
spent.
And
no doubt. And the guy at ESPN yesterday said the sneaky bet right now at 13-1 is Andy Reid to be coach of the year. I'm like, oh, all of a sudden everybody's coming out of the rafters right now and talking about how good Andy Reid is. I think this is going to be the year that people do appreciate Andy Reid. They're going to run the table. They're going to win the Super Bowl, and people are going to go, you know, that Andy Reid's a pretty good coach. I don't know why Kevin Stefanski kept getting coach of the year honors. How do we not give it to Andy Reid? Like, this is finally the year. This is the Andy Reid appreciation year in the NFL, where people realize he's just better than all of you other turd birds out there that are coaching teams.
Fesco.se brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ Technologies, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. We try to find the one, if any, loss on this Chiefs schedule on the other side. On 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Are you waking up this morning a little sore in your joints, you're achy, and you're in pain, and you're like, I want to play golf today, it's going to be 85 degrees, but I can't? Well, yes, you can, because real lasting pain relief is possible with help from QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in cellular therapies that can revitalize your joints. I'm talking about advanced regenerative medicine, using your own body's healing properties, highly concentrated and carefully placed in your achy joint. Whether it's back pain or shoulder pain or knee pain, these are cutting-edge treatments that require no surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. And these protocols have been developed by medical professionals and under the leadership of Dr. Mitchell Scheinkup, a former orthopedic surgeon and a pioneer in clinical regenerative medicine. So if arthritis pain is keeping you from doing the things you love, that pain in your knees, your hips, your back, and your shoulders, you owe it to yourself to learn more. Call QC Kinetics today for a free consultation. 816-412-6299. That's 816-412-6299. QC Kinetics off 435 in State Line and in Gladstone. 816-412-6299.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty here on a Tuesday. This day is flying by, boys.
It really is, man.
Normally Tuesday is a tough day.
Tuesday's tough for you, huh?
It's just kind of that, like, meh day, right?
You survived
Monday.
I understand.
Hump day is tomorrow. And then once you get past Wednesday, it's just like, it's easy.
It goes fast, yeah.
I don't know why this movie just popped in my head, because it's like, it's like Easy Street. Have you guys ever seen Green Street Hooligans?
Nope.
You guys should check that out. Good movie. Elijah Wood's in it.
Ooh.
It's about a New York reporter disguised as a football fan over in England.
Oh, a football as in soccer
That's
fan?
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And he's got to write like a story on this gang that goes to soccer games. Really good.
Have you ever gone to an EPL game? Anybody?
Bueller? Bucket list.
I would love to do that, right? How, like that, like of sports events and things. And
no,
I've been very blessed that I've been to, you know, certain events and whatnot. But that's something I would love to do, is go to an EPL game.
I want to go see Manchester United versus Manchester City and Sir Alex Ferguson's Field.
So So it matters for you what the stadium is.
I mean, if I'm going to go,
the grounds are.
No, yeah. I root for the Red Devils. I'm a Wayne Rooney fan at heart.
I like Nottingham Forest myself.
Oh, there you go. No, I'm I love the EPL. It's interesting.
Do you think it's like at a game there? Like, it's got to be just adrenaline the entire
Arrowhead
time.
Arrowhead
right?
times 10.
Yeah, right?
Because I wish, the one thing I wish that the American sports would incorporate is like the songs.
Okay.
Like, I wish they would bring over, like, because you watch, you know, you go to like a sporting game or a comic game.
Current game.
You can go to a comic game too. Current game or a sporting game, they have their little chants. Like, the Current do the KC baby chants before the game starts. Having like everybody have like a theme, like Chiefs song, which we used to have, but the guy was a creep.
Yeah.
Don't do it anymore.
When does that time run its course? Because we listen to Michael Jackson music.
Oh, yeah. Good point. I don't know. Undefeated season?
That's when it runs its course?
Yeah.
So we can bring it back next year?
Yeah.
Gary Glitter?
Because, Rock and Roll Part 2, I think is the name of the song?
Yeah, Rock and Roll Part 2, yeah.
Watching those videos, we should have known. Pete Prisco has a question or a theory on the Chiefs' first loss.
Buffalo. Late in the season, it's going to be the Bills. That's the only one I can see where they'd have a chance to lose. The rest of
late in the season, it's week 11 when they play.
Well, that's kind of late.
For those, they run the table. If they win against the Bills, they will run the table and go undefeated. I do not see a threat there. They're, like B-Mac said, they have the quarterback. When he has to do it, he can do it. He's not putting up gaudy numbers, but he has to go get points. He can go get them. And that defense is playing lights out. They're outstanding. Steve Spagnuolo is a great defensive coordinator. Andy Reid and that group are great offensive minds. They're the team to beat, and they have a real chance to go undefeated.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's not just Bob Fesco, you know, spewing out 35-0, 17-0. Pete Prisco thinks if they beat Buffalo, they run the table.
Well, you start to look at what's after Buffalo, right? You play Buffalo on the 17th after a day, a home game against Denver. Then you go to Buffalo, and then it's at Carolina. Okay, they're done. Then you have the Raiders and Chargers back-to-back weeks at home. I don't think the Chargers scare anybody. Can we stop playing that game now that the Chargers are a good football
team? You get them here.
You already beat them there, and then you get them here, and then they lost last night to Arizona, which, by the way, great helmets by the Cardinals. Give them that.
Great uniforms in general.
Yeah, just a whole great uniform game last night, right?
Good quarterback play last night from Arizona.
And then you got at Cleveland. And then you got Houston, which on the 21st is a big one. And then you finish at Pittsburgh and at Denver. So, you get past Buffalo, right? I mean, I think that's the circle game right now. All of a sudden, Tampa doesn't look like it's going to be anything next week, right? They lost their two top wide receivers. Mm-hmm. And so
that gave us a lot of buzz.
A lot of buzz, right? A lot of buzz on Monday. They may flex that thing back to noon on Sunday.
No. You're not taking Monday night away from Arrowhead.
God, no, they're not. They're 100% not doing that because it's the last Monday night game that we have on the year. So they're going to keep that Monday night game, obviously. But that game after last night, that has lost a lot of buzz to it. So you got the Raiders this week, and you got Tampa, you got Denver. So those are your next three. Those are all wins, in my opinion. Then you got Buffalo. It's going to be a tough test. Josh Allen plays good in the regular season. And then after that, I mean, you can pretty much write your ticket to 16-1 or 17-0, depending on what happens, you know, in that Buffalo Bills game. And, you know, you get down to the end of the season, and I think we've talked about this every day after the show for the last couple of weeks. What do you do in week 17 or week 18 when you're at Denver and you're 16-0 and you don't really need the game? Do you rest the guys? Do you go up for undefeated? And I think the answer to the question right now, you go for the undefeated. You absolutely go out there and try to go 17-0.
That's what I was asking.
You owe it to your players.
Because that's what I was asking you yesterday. We were kind of just wrapping things up in the bullpen or whatever. And I'm like, let me ask you something. If they're 16-0 going into that final game against Denver, do they play the starters?
Yeah.
Because I was trying to put numbers in my head. The AFC West isn't technically over yet because for some reason Denver's 4-3 or 6-0, so two-game lead, it's not, you know, whatever. But I was trying to think, what number do they have to get to for the AFC West? It might be over already, right? Because they're 6-0. I don't think they're going to lose to Denver twice, let alone once. I know Bo Nix is a rookie quarterback and whatever, but, like, come on. They beat them last year in Denver because Patrick Mahomes had the flu.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, what? I mean, I'll give that excuse, whatever. But 16-0, I have a really weird suspicion that I don't think they would play the starters.
See, I think they will because it's history and they want this. So, you know, we've talked about it all year. This is their goal. Undefeated Super Bowl champions. That's the goal that this team set out before themselves. If they are fortunate enough to get to the end of the season at 16-0, you better believe they're going to put those guys out there. Now, obviously it'll be a great discussion point mm-hmm. for that whole week leading up to the game and everybody talking about what they think they should do and all that kind of stuff.
Do you think Denver would bench their starters, or do you think they would try to beat the Chiefs to knock that undefeated season out?
They're coming full bore at you in that game. As weeks go by, every team is going to look at it as this is the opportunity. Not that they don't look at the Chiefs as the Super Bowl already, mm-hmm. but this is something completely different now. You get a chance to knock off the Chiefs as they're 11-0 or 10-0 or 9-0 or 17-0 or whatever the case of 0 is. You get the opportunity to try to knock them off. And so I do. I think these teams are going to be coming hard for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm. And not that they aren't already, but they're not resting anybody late in the year or anything like that.
So
and
last night doesn't scare you with the injuries that happened?
You can't be a fan scared. You can't go and coach scared and play scared. And they'll tell you that because, look, injuries happen all over the place. It does. It's part of the game. But if you go into the game with that fear, then something will happen, right? So you can't play scared. You can't play afraid. You have to play like every game is your last, and you go out there and you win every football game that you have the opportunity to play in.
I just think it's interesting because if you really want to like debunk the Patriots dynasty, what did the Patriots do? They went undefeated and lost in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right.
If you go undefeated and win in the Super Bowl and win a three-peat, that's like a three-leg parlay that has to put you above and beyond.
Oh, no question. You're the greatest team and greatest dynasty in American professional sports. If you go undefeated and win the Super Bowl and three-peat, you are by far the greatest dynasty in the history of American sports. And nobody can argue that because you were perfect in the regular season. Mm-hmm. You've won three in a row. And you won a Super Bowl in a perfect season that nobody's done since the 72 Dolphins. And we're all tired of hearing about those old codgers.
Yeah, and you can go to Google and check out their schedule, but we do a topic here that merits like looking at the schedule, and you think to yourself, okay, what's the number for the number one seed? Is it 13? 13-4 would get you the number one seed?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
So if that's the case, let's try to find four losses if you can on the Chiefs schedule.
Right.
Meaning that Baltimore would have to only be able to lose one more game because you have tiebreak over them.
Yeah.
If you lose to Buffalo, they already have two losses, so they can only lose one more game,
right?
But they'd have tiebreakers, so they have to lose two more. Tough matchup this week, as Mac told you on the com, against Seattle this weekend. But you have the Raiders this week. We all think they're going to win at 325. Home against Buccaneers, probably a win in that game Monday
night. That game is now drastically different than it was 12 hours ago. 100%. Dusty.
I would have loved to see that line 2 days ago as opposed to what that line will be when it comes out. It'll probably be Chiefs 4.5.
Yeah.
Broncos at home, probably winning that game. Bo Nix's first time at Arrowhead, division rivalry. Yeah. That's going to be a tough meal to swallow there. At Buffalo, 325 on Sunday the 17th.
Do you think they're resting the starters at halftime of that Denver game to get ready?
I mean, you could. At Buffalo's tough, but then you get at Carolina. That game, you could probably start Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders at home, you're winning that game.
Is Carson Wentz better than anybody that Carolina's going to roll out there to be their starting quarterback?
I mean, if you had an argument right now on this radio show, Carson Wentz versus Andy Dalton,
that's right.
I would probably take the day. I'd be like, you can talk about that all you want to.
Yeah.
Wentz is the best quarterback in the AFC West, other than Patrick Mahomes.
Other than Patrick Mahomes, I don't think there's an argument to be had. You know, Bo Nix may wave his
You're right. You're
Justin
right.
Herbert
right.
threw 340.
You're right. I was just waiting. Thank you. No, Herbert's better. I was being facetious.
When is the bloom going to fall off, though, of Justin Herbert?
Well, last night he had a Patrick Mahomes moment. He had Jalen Reagor for a 45-yard touchdown. He fumbled at the one. Or he dropped it at the one and fumbled out of bounds. Mm. Touchback. Stupidest rule in football.
Kind of like that rule.
Then you get the Chargers there. Chargers here. Browns there. Then
what do you think that's going to be like on December 15th in Cleveland?
I mean, they may not even have Myles Garrett at that point.
I mean, how many
Elijah
people?
Moore might be gone.
Oh my gosh.
They'll have Nick Chubb and Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Right? Then the Texans here on the 21st, CJ Stroud's first game in Arrowhead, they'll be playing. So, like, again, let's say you lose two games, 15-2.
You go 15. If you say 15-2 right now, it guarantees you the number one spot. And guaranteed.
Should get you the number one seed, should get you coach of the year, and should get you possibly MVP at quarterback because of what they've gone through, and yet still 15.
What slug, though, will they vote for coach of the year if Andy goes 15-2?
Dan Quinn's getting it. Yeah. Right now it's Dan Quinn. Because Dan Quinn is 5-2 in the NFC East. The only thing Dan Quinn's got to do is he's got to beat a couple of good teams.
Yeah.
Don't look now, but Sean Payton. If they make the freaking playoffs,
if they make the playoffs, people will vote for that slug, too. I'd pour salt on him and watch him shrivel up. Right. Like, you've got to stop trying to justify that Andy Reid is not coach of the year. We've got to stop this nonsense. Right. Like, it's got to end. It just does.
I agree.
Because you're right. You're right. Like, these people are going to be coming out of the woodwork going, oh, look at what Sean Payton did. Yeah, right? That doesn't make you coach of the year.
Right.
What Andy Reid does week in and week out, where you're everybody's Super Bowl, and they're reinventing themselves literally on the field as the game goes on, and they still win. No other coach in this league could do what Andy Reid does. They can't even try to do what Andy Reid does because they're not smart enough, and they're not talented enough, and they're not good enough.
I just don't think – I think if they're 15-0, I don't think you see the starters play until the divisional round.
So you don't think – if they're 15-0, you don't think they play against the Pittsburgh Steelers and Denver?
No. What's more important to the Chiefs, a three-peat or an undefeated season?
I think it all is important.
I think it's three-peat, first-round bye, big gap, undefeated season.
Yeah, I think
undefeated seasons don't – you don't get anything in your Hall of Fame for an undefeated season. Yeah, it's cool, but, like, the Patriots – the way I look at it is, same concept. Patriots went undefeated, lost Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, 13-second game, lost AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Didn't matter anymore.
It doesn't
matter. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, it is.
Lost the greatest nickname he has. Now he's still Showtime instead of the Grim Reaper. Mm-hmm. We don't call him that anymore. All those shirts that got made, they're at Red Racks. They're not even available anymore.
Yeah.
People are like, what does this mean? Doesn't matter because you didn't win the next game.
You didn't win the next game.
You go undefeated and then lose in the AFC Championship game. At what cost?
You're going to be very disappointed.
It doesn't matter.
To resting guys, routine. Players are in their routine.
I get it.
You got to keep them going and moving.
But it didn't matter for Travis Kelce last year.
No, it did not.
They rested him and he became Travis Kelce.
They rested him the whole year and he became Travis Kelce.
Weird.
Right? Like, certain players are like that. Certain players aren't. Like, you know how it is, right? You give somebody a day off and there's certain guys that take advantage of that day off and eat and do all that kind of stuff, get fat and happy. There's other guys that work on their day off, right? It happens in every line of business. Business and whatnot. So do you have enough belief and faith that you can give your players two games off plus the bye week and then play on like January 18th or 19th and expect to go out there and expect to be, you know, clicking on all cylinders when you really haven't clicked on all cylinders all season long? So you don't rest players.
Might have Hollywood Brown then, Rushy Rice then, Isaiah Pacheco will be back by then.
No Rice.
Hollywood Brown, a very long shot. Pacheco should be back, but
Hollywood Brown, who knows? Maybe, right? Maybe. Maybe, please.
Maybe. I mean, but again, a guy hasn't played all year.
No, I get you. No, I completely agree.
No shot. Speaking of no shot, no shot if I lived in New York or L.A. that I'd be going to a World Series game.
Can you believe these ticket prices?
Remember what I told you yesterday and your eyes just popped out of your head? Game one. These are just get-in prices.
Get-in prices.
From nosebleeds.
From Tick Pick, whatever that is. The World Series is set. Dodgers-Yankees. Current get-in prices. Game one. Yankees at Dodgers. Just to get in. $1,015.
Over $1,000.
Just to get in.
Yeah.
You want to go to game seven if it gets there in LA? $1,252.
How much is it in New York for game three?
Game three is $1,200 or $1,339 just to get into the
Bronx.
Just
to get into the game. I mean, my God. How bad do you want to get into a game to pay that kind of money to get into a game?
And that's what's crazy about these games is that it's going to be star-packed. They're going to show everybody.
Yes.
L.A., you're going to see Larry David. You're going to see John Legend and Christy Teigen. You're going to see all those L.A. superstars. And they're going to go to New York, and you're going to see all those superstars as well. But, I mean, baseball's got exactly what they want, and they're doing exactly what they want, and they're not understanding why their sport is dying.
Well, I mean, $1,300 is not baseball. That is but television ratings were 37%.
That's F1 racing. Like, that's to get into, like, Formula 1.
But that's
like,
secondary prices. People are obviously paying this money to get in. It's supply and demand, you know, on the secondary market. Baseball has no control over that.
Sure, but I mean, like, rich are getting richer. The two most hated teams in baseball are playing in the World Series, and it's on Friday night.
And it is on Friday, but it's actually not a bad thing to have it on a Friday night because you're trying to not compete with the NFL. And, you know, years ago, they used to cancel Sunday night, not cancel, but not schedule a game on Sunday night football because the World Series always started on a Sunday. So that first day, game one of the World Series, there was no Sunday night football. That has now gone way of the dodo bird, and baseball has changed their schedule to not really compete with the World Series or not compete with the NFL. There's one game in the World Series that could potentially be scheduled against an NFL game, and that is next Monday night. I don't know who plays Monday night football next week, but yeah, Friday and Saturday, not competing with the NFL, Sunday off day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday games, Thursday, another big NFL night off day, and then finish it on Friday and Saturday. So they're trying to stay away from the NFL as much as they possibly can, which does make a lot of sense. There's just no smart way to play, you know, the World Series. And because, you know, if games went 6 and 7, you'd still be playing today and tomorrow, you know, in the championship series. So they've got to schedule it when they do. The ticket prices are what they are because people are willing to pay these ticket prices. I'm never willing to pay a ticket price like that, $1,000 to get in. They were saying tickets behind the Yankee dugout in LA are going for $20,000 a piece.
Oh God.
I mean, it makes me wonder, like, what do these people do for a living and how do I get one of those jobs?
Giants and Steelers, Monday Night Football.
Giants and Steelers. Yep. Yeah, that's not going to register.
It's in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh,
yeah. So game 3 at Yankee Stadium, Monday Night Football against the Giants, if you're still paying attention to the Giants.
Russell Wilson versus Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Or game 3 of the World Series, which I'm sure the Dodgers will go bullpen game with.
Mm.
The Dodgers are the favorite in game 1, and they have not announced their starter yet.
I wonder if it's – I asked this question to a couple buddies of mine. If it's 3-3 game 7 in L.A., do you let Shohei Ohtani start pitching?
Ooh. No.
No, hasn't just let pitched it. All don't year. Do it. Yeah. Just don't even flirt with that idea.
Yeah. Yeah, hasn't pitched all
Somebody
year.
Somebody from the 417 says, how much to park? LOL.
$170 at Dodger Stadium is the cheap
Good
parking.
God. I know that's LA money, but that's stupid.
$170 to park your car for the cheap parking.
Someone asked, what do the Royals playoff tickets go for this year? They're expensive.
50-some bucks, I think, is what what we ended up paying. $55, I think, a piece.
And I mean, that wasn't a World Series game.
No, it's not World Series.
Yeah, but that's a playoff ticket, which answers the question.
Yeah, but World Series, I mean, I'd like to know what the face value of those tickets are to where they got up to over $1,000 per
seat. I'd say probably $550.
You think that much?
Double their price on the market so you get your money and some. And there's only concept I can think of.
Really, you think $550? I'd love to know. I don't know what the face value is. I don't know how you find out what the face value is. But
Father Fesco and see if he knows anybody out there that like actually bought a ticket at face value for a New York
game. Yeah, my sister texted me. You got any connections? I'm like, no.
You get it from your family too?
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
Like, I'd be using them if I did.
No, yeah. I don't have connections to World Series tickets at $1,000 a pop. You know, it's like it's insane. No, I honestly want to know what these jobs are, what these people do for a living to have this kind of disposable income. And if you have any ideas and openings, text us and let us know because we'll go work for you. I mean, $1,000 a ticket just to get into the World Series? $20,000 to sit behind the dugout?
I don't think it's radio.
I mean, it's bizarre. And people just pay these prices like it's nobody's business.
I couldn't imagine paying that money to go to a baseball game.
Would you have paid that to go to a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Yes.
You would have.
Yeah.
You would have paid $1,000 just to get in.
Yep. Yeah, because I've never been, and I don't know if I'll ever get to go. I mean, I work at a job where maybe we can get it, but yeah.
What about now? This year? To see the three-peat?
$3,000?
Yeah, because it's also in New Orleans, and I really want to go to New Orleans.
Oh, okay. My gosh, you're right. That'd be fun.
So you'd
just
pay,
go eat po' boy sandwiches until I couldn't breathe.
You'd pay $1,000 to get in right now.
I think I would.
Yeah. Somebody says, how much for helicopter parking in LA?
That's a good question. Yeah, they probably do have that. And I'm not joking. There's probably like you can land your helicopter here and
the helipad.
$1,000. Somebody just shells that over, man. Like, God.
My girlfriend's uncle lives in L.A., has season tickets to the Dodgers. He's going to the World Series. He owns over 50 Jersey Mike's stores.
There you go.
Can I get a club sub for the rest of my life, please?
Yeah. Oh,
with a red relish, no onion, Mike's way, add banana peppers.
If he is a season ticket holder, then he got them for face value. Find out what the face value was for those tickets.
Yeah, that's just crazy. That's just nuts. $1,000 to go see a baseball game. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. Like, baseball is obviously the opposite of football. Like, baseball is better there
than
on TV, whereas football is better on TV than there. Well, right. I'm not speaking for everybody. I enjoy football more on my couch watching on TV than I do at the game itself.
I feel like when you're at the game, you miss stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, you need to be. Basketball, you need to be at the game. I enjoy basketball much more in person than I do on the television. Hockey's the same way. It's much better in person than it is on TV. Football's the only game that's better on TV than it is in person.
So on the dugout, sideline, like NBA court, or on the field sideline, football?
So which like one? Dugout, football sideline, or NBA court side?
NBA court side.
Court side.
Court side of the NBA is pretty special.
I was going to say, because you know, Bob, you've just done the court
trip.
Side.
You just don't trip Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, I mean, I had the opportunity back, you know, when I was covering the Spurs, that's where they gave us the seats. We're always on court side. And you get the opportunity to sit right there and watch these guys work. It's a completely different ball game. It's a completely different ball game.
Valid
point. It takes the whole, they don't play defense. Yeah. That's the biggest fallacy in sports.
Valid point here. People pay $1,000+ to see Taylor Swift. This isn't too crazy to pay $1,000 to see a World Series.
Fair point. But Taylor Swift's like a once in a lifetime thing, I guess. I don't know. I can justify the Taylor Swift more than I can the baseball thing. Because
who would you spend $1,000 to see in music?
Who would I spend $1,000? Probably nobody.
No one? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm cheap. You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah. I wouldn't either, though.
You're asking the wrong person. I am a cheap SOB, man. Like,
I'd pay $1,000 to be front row of the stage of Bruce Springsteen.
You would?
Okay.
That's it. Because I might be able to get his harmonica.
Yeah. And that makes it worth it.
Then I could just die. Yeah. And I'd be like, we're good. I'm done with life. Like, but again, either way. Coming up on the other side, Kyle Brandt and Bob Fesco share one thing in common, and it's not golf. I promise you that. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
It's like Good Morning Football is listening to 96.5 The Fan, like all of you, or you're watching 96.5 The Fan, and Fesco and Dusty is we're on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all of that. Subscribe, like it. I don't know where we're at right now. I'm sure we could find it, but we need to get to 3,000 subscribers, and we get some lunch from the boss. We just had Torchy's Tacos drop off some breakfast burritos out there.
Oh, nice. So Torchy's is really good.
It is a solid place. So thanks to those people out there for the Taco Tuesday breakfast. I told Mac, and I thought his shorts about came off. He said, where? Where are they at over there? It's like, yeah, they're over there with your Patrick Mahomes take.
Yeah.
No, zero take.
If you missed Mahomes' take earlier from Mac, he wants Mahomes traded and doesn't think they can win with Patrick Mahomes. They're winning in spite of Patrick Mahomes. That's today's take from Mac.
Welcome to Bob Fesco's world.
It's great, great trolling. I've got an 11 o'clock stomach, so yeah, I'm going to destroy some queso and a breakfast burrito.
We had a topic yesterday about how you are all in, and now the whole world should be all in on Jared Goff.
And they are.
And this is Kyle Brandt.
There's an interesting thing that Brian Flores has now coordinated 23 games for that team. He's given up 30 points four times in the 23. Three of them are to the Lions.
Wow.
So it's like, we love Flores, and Peter's laying out the pressure, and I know that's his brand, and I know he's intimidating, and he's cool, and you root for him, and a lot of teams just completely buckle under it. We're starting to get into it like a Lions have his number type thing.
Yeah.
And three times, and they had gotten 30. They got 30 again. Ben Johnson was awesome. Goff was awesome. I don't think we're giving enough time to him being like, well, I know I was perfect to start. It was, you know what it was like? Someone who hits like 20 shots in a row on the basketball court, but there's like a couple of them hit the rim though. Yeah. Like they should be perfect swishes. When we're exploring the definition of perfect, we've gone crazy places with Jared Goff. No one in the league is playing better than him. And I know now, like, I see the MVP talk is starting, and it should, because they're in the conversation for best team in the league, and I just don't see anybody in any position playing better than him. And the numbers back it up too. He's absolutely unconscious.
Perfect is what he thinks Jared Goff has to be.
Perfect. No, well, he is.
There's only a few things that are perfect in this world, and it is Paige Spiranek, Kay Adams, and Sidney Sweeney.
Well, I don't think he said Jared Goff has to be perfect. I think he's saying he's playing perfect
I think he's saying that people judge him as that he has to be. Because he used the basketball analogy. He has to have 20 swishes instead of, even though he makes 20 baskets, a few of them hit the rim, but it's like, well, they weren't swishes.
I thought he was saying that like about himself. Like he's putting that much pressure on himself that even if he makes 20 in a row, it can't hit the rim. It has to be a swoosh. Isn't that what Jordan and LeBron and all those guys
Yeah, I got that too, Bob. But I get what Dusty's saying, too. That's interesting. Two different perspectives.
So the two different – you and I both view it as he's talking like from a Jared Goff mentality.
Well, let's play it again.
Yeah. There's an interesting thing that Brian Flores has now coordinated 23 games for that team. He's given up 30 points four times in the 23. Three of them are to the Lions.
Wow.
So it's like, we love Flores, and Peter's laying out the pressure, and I know that's his brand, and I know he's intimidating, and he's cool, and you root for him, and a lot of teams just completely buckle under it. We're starting to get into it like a Lions have his number type thing.
Yeah.
And three times, and they had gotten 30. They got 30 again. Ben Johnson was awesome. Goff was awesome. I don't think we're giving enough time to him being like, well, I know I was perfect to start. It was, you know what it was like? someone who hits like 20 shots in a row on the basketball court, but there's like a couple of them hit the rim though. Yeah, like they should be perfect swishes. When we're exploring the definition of perfect, we've gone crazy places with Jared Goff. No one in the league is playing better than him. And I know now, like, I see the MVP talk is starting, and it should, because they're in the conversation for best team in the league, and I just don't see anybody in any position playing better than him. And the numbers back it up too. He's absolutely unconscious.
I don't really know what he's doing.
So I say that. It's like, I agreed right away, and then I'm like, wait a minute, maybe I don't know who's right.
At first I was like, oh, me and Bob right. Then I was like, wait, is Dusty
is he
right?
talking about Jared? Because he kind of like, you know, does a word salad there, right? Mm. Like, I interpreted that as he was talking about Jared Goff wants to be perfect, and if he hits the rim, I'm not perfect. That's the way I got it. Like, he's driven to be perfect, and that's why he's having this success right now. And long story of the matter is that, you know, last week I mentioned Goff, you laughed at me, and now, like, all the golfers are coming out, man. Like, they're out there right now. Jared Goff is playing some really, really good football. And if his name was Caleb Williams, people would be having a party down Michigan Avenue. If his name was Jaden Daniels, they'd be celebrating on Constitutional Avenue in Washington or whatever street is there. You know, like, but his name is Jared Goff. And again, preconceived notions, people didn't believe he was any good, even though he was a good quarterback.
And was the number one overall pick.
Was the number one overall pick. He did go to the Rams for a while. They weren't good, but did take him to a Super Bowl. Now he's in Detroit, part of the Renaissance, leading that Renaissance at that quarterback position. And if he had if he had a different name other than Goff, like, people would be more impressed by what he's doing. But Jared Goff seems like that kind of a name of a guy who just kind of sits there. I'm Jared Goff. Like, it just doesn't lend itself to this big personality and boom and all this kind of stuff. But if it was Caleb Williams or CJ Stroud or Patrick Mahomes, people would be celebrating what Jared Goff is doing. I think Jared Goff is the perfect indicator of how people make up their minds on sports on day one, and they never want to be open-minded to let it be changed. And I think Jared Goff right now should be changing the minds of everybody who doubted Jared Goff.
Jared Goff is one of the top five favorites right now in the MVP race. Do you want to try to guess the other four?
Well, I'm going to say it's Patrick Mahomes.
That's one.
Lamar Jackson.
That's two.
Jared Goff, you mentioned, is three of the five we're looking for. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen.
That's one.
And Caleb?
Nope.
Sam Darnold?
Nope.
Should we get it?
Yes.
C.J. Stroud?
Nope. C.J. Stroud just lost to this guy.
Oh, Jordan Love.
Jordan Love.
Damn right.
So okay. Lamar Jackson plus 225, Patrick Mahomes plus 475. So the five touchdowns created some space.
Yep.
Josh Allen at plus 500, Jared Goff at plus 850, Jordan Love at plus 1300.
Wow.
And to give you some indication of where your coach of the year ranks, Andy Reid is at plus 900.
Plus 900. 13-1 yesterday. Now he's 9-1. So people are starting to put their money on Andy Reid. You know?
KOC is number one at plus 275, tied with Dan Quinn at plus 275.
What number is Andy Reid?
He is sixth. Okay. So your top six are Kevin O'Connell at plus 275, tied with Dan Quinn at plus 275. Jim Harbaugh at plus 550.
Whoa, 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 whoa. That's right. Whoa, 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 yep. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Joey Lawrence.
Whoa. The guy in L.A. that lost to the Cardinals yesterday,
right,
who's 3-3,
that's right,
has better odds to be coach of the year than 6-0 Andy Reid,
as well as Sean Payton and Dan Campbell.
I can give you the Dan Campbell argument all day. That's fine.
Yeah,
they're the second best team in the league right now.
That's right. That's where they rank.
That's blasphemy. What a bunch of hogwash.
Yep. Jim Harbaugh, man.
Again, Jim Harbaugh and his quarterback, like, they can do no wrong. Oh, we got to praise L.A. because we got to make L.A. work. So let's celebrate these two losers.
Coming up on the other side, start, bench, cut. We do it every Tuesday at 9 o'clock here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.